Hey, what's going on? This is the Educated Guest Podcast. I'm Justin, and I'm your host. Hey, if this is your first time joining, I just want to say thank you first and foremost for becoming a part of this community, choosing to care a little bit about your personal development, your personal journey as an artist, as a designer, as a creator, and maybe investing a little time into that development. What we do here is that we focus on unique conversations that spark something in each and every one of you. And we've been doing that for the past 2.5 years, where we've created a virtual art school of sorts. And there's really three main parts to this that we think are important to mention. The first is the development of the self, the mentality, the mental strength and sort of personal development, the mindset that's needed to either run your own practice, get the job of your dreams, or even just continue enjoying to go to work every day. There's a second thing that we find to be an interesting pillar of what we teach and what we do and the conversations we enjoy having and sharing here. That has to do with our second segment, work study, which is really a deep dive of tactics, tools, templates of how to either cultivate creativity in your environment or perhaps go into a business-oriented situation that is not deemed to fail or doomed to fail. So what are the things that are actually needed and how do you actually get things done once you're actually running your own studio or getting the job you want or anything like that? And then the third segment we really focus on, the third pillar is one of conversation, one of dialogue, one of inspiration. That is our well-read segment. And we really, really enjoy that. That's our sort of our legacy segment where we bring in interesting people to talk to who've either been in the shoes that you're looking to walk in or currently walking in the shoes that you're in now. So with that said, hopefully you enjoy this. Thanks for being here. If you're interested in getting deeper into this community, interested in more conversations like this, then you can go to educated-guests.com. Subscribe to our newsletter there. Many, many people and most people who read it really find it to be a very interesting breath of fresh air in their day to day. So we really pride ourselves on the information that we give there. And we don't bombard you with information all the time like some people do. Just value when value is needed. So anyway, today's topic is actually a bit perplexing for many people maybe listening. Most people listening are probably well into their, you know, job again, or maybe started back school, or doing client work again, or looking for that next check or anything like that. And you've already paid rent for or paid your mortgage for the month of, you know, January, and you're now like kind of off and running. And is it too late to start a New Year's resolution? Maybe, maybe not. Is it too early to, you know, begin thinking about like what the next 7 or 8 months are going to even look like? Maybe, maybe not. And today we're here to demystify a lot of the questions that people have you ask at the end of the year and the beginning of the year, and the things that people make you feel bad about. We all have been there. I mean, most people approach the new year in a way that is very pragmatic and perhaps overzealous, because what they're doing is that they are approaching it from a standpoint of trying to crack the code on how this year is going to be the best ever, and how this year can be one for the books, and how this one can be better than the last, and what do they need to do to make sure that this is the year where it finally happens. The truth is that nothing actually happens. Nothing happens even when it does happen. There are many examples of people who recall their most depressing day of their life is when they had the number one record, or when they had the design award they always wished for, or perhaps on graduation day, or perhaps on the day that they finally were able to quit their job because they could start their studio. Like those things, nothing actually happens. Nobody claps for you outside of the brief amount of time that you sort of engage in that. So what we're here to do today is to offer a solution to that feeling, a solution to the problem of how do you start the new year correctly? that question, that core question of, you know, how do you actually find a simpler way of just approaching the new year, not as this grandiose chance to just wipe the slate clean, but instead a way to perhaps move into the new year with grace, move into the new year with fluidity, move into the new year with a sense of certainty that you may have never had before. So, like I mentioned before, there are a number of different questions that people are always asking at the end of the year. It's like, oh, well, like, how many people do I want to meet? Or what are my financial targets? And what are my relationship targets? What are my travel targets? Where do I want to go? What do I want to learn? All these different, how many books do I want to read? How many songs do I want to write? Like, how many portfolio pieces do I want to make? All of these are, you know, worthwhile questions, but the problem is that there's no systematic way of parsing through all these questions. Essentially, what people are doing, most people approach the new year with the mental equivalent of a desktop full of files and photos and MP3s and all these different data points, but no folders. There's no folder structure. And we've all been in front of or beside or next to or anything like that, adjacent to someone who has that sort of computer screen. And you're always like, how in the world did they get anything done? Especially when you are walking around with like a full hard drive. So what we're going to do, I mean, there's no file structure that people normally have. What we're going to do today is that we're going to provide you with a file structure of sorts that's going to get you through your week, your months, your years. Perhaps you might need to tinker with this, change them, like customize it to make it make sense for you. But at the end of the day, like, the goals are the same. What we're trying to do is to distill all of life's questions down into a couple of repeatable, you know, sort of thematic groups that you could at least pinpoint and say, okay, well, all of these questions about this one topic have to relate to that. So without further ado, let's go ahead and hop into it. The first category of questioning that I think is common and perhaps a bit overlooked by popular media or popular science, I don't know, but overlooked quite a lot is this category of wisdom. And wisdom as defined by a knowledge of the spirit, knowledge of your faith, and a sense of clarity. So when you're asking questions in your new year, I mean, especially as it's moving forward and maybe you're a little off track already, kind of life is kind of just like come out of nowhere and you're back to the grind, just to center yourself, ask how many times you've asked about your wisdom, and just kind of remind yourself that wisdom is sort of this ability to confirm what you already know about yourself, to question what you already know about yourself, to describe your strengths and weaknesses accurately, your ability to uncover uncomfortable truths, your ability to reclaim important parts of yourself that were pushed aside in daily life, and this innate ability to understand potential paths to fulfillment. There's never one central question that I think should be asked around this, but as long as you are reminding yourself and taking a grade and taking note and scoring yourself mentally about where your wisdom is and where your, you know, your sense of spirit. I mean, these, again, the category names and the nominal nature of the categories is rotational and could be changed if you want to. But I think it's incredibly important to center yourself with those questions first so that you have clarity over your decision-making. You can be more prudent. You can be more disciplined because you have a sense of a base, you have a foundation. The reason I didn't immediately opt for the option of faith is because I understand that people have different spiritual beliefs and different things that center them. But at the end of the day, if you don't have a practice of developing and cultivating your wisdom and your knowledge of, and a code of conduct, then it doesn't really matter how much money you set as a goal that you want to make. You're going to eventually lose your balance. So I would just write on a piece of paper, circle it, wisdom as the first category, and sort of allow your mind to ask questions around that topic that are worthwhile that come to mind for you. So the second category of questions that I've found to be recurring and really important as we approach a new year and as a new year approaches us, perhaps, is this category of growth. So this could be also interchanged with learning, reading, watching, challenging. But at the end of the day, we are fueled by our collective ability to evolve. You know, two things have gotten this far. I mean, we've gotten this far by faith and by evolution. So if we're not able to challenge ourselves consistently, then at the end of the day, if we're not able to plan out challenging experiences, we're not really going to be happy. You know, there's an old saying that the tired dog is the happy dog and the exhausted dog is the happy dog, whatever you want to say. But it's not necessarily a advantageous thing to seek peace in the sense of peace in not doing any work. But what are the challenges that the mountains that we need to climb? What are the things that are in our face that we need to overcome? What are the uncomfortable things and situations we need to place ourselves in? So this growth category is really having to do with our ability to visualize and self-assess where we need to get better. It's our ability to reduce and sort of create momentum and reduce uncertainty through challenging experiences. The one way to break out of fear and uncertainty is to create momentum. It's to create momentum so that any rock wall, any brick wall that is placed in front of us, we're not afraid to run through it because we've built up and we've been running already. So we might as well keep going. It's kind of like if you ever gone for a jog around the neighborhood or jog around the city, one of the most frustrating things about running is when you have to stop at a stoplight and wait for cars to pass. Because it's only in that moment after you kind of achieves the runner's high, quote unquote, that you realize how much your legs hurt or you realize how far you've gone or you realize what mile you're on or anything like that. As long as you just keep in motion and keep moving, my dad always used to say, and it's kind of like an Einstein quote, but the one way to keep riding a bicycle is to keep moving. I don't remember the quote exactly verbatim, but it's less important. But essentially, you can't stop pedaling. And that's the one way to fall off a bike. So again, if you have a piece of paper, if you have a notebook or something like that, just write down growth as that second category and sort of return to this as your point of stasis as you approach the new year and you start asking questions and you're trying to look for areas in your life. And instead of ending up with like 17 different categories, like, family, friends, like most people go about organizing their life or assessing their life by going by family, friends, job, free time, hobbies, music, travel, like all these different categories that are really not essential in the human nature are essential to your happiness. They are sort of functions of exponents of your happiness. Like they definitely can increase it, but the variable of your happiness is not whether you traveled or not. It's because you can travel a whole lot and be very miserable. That's why I really advise that it's better to go about organizing your year, organizing your months according to these categories, because when you're focused on growth and not travel, travel can happen for the purpose of growth. You know, like if you realize that, you know, travel is an exponential multiplier for, you know, happiness, or travel would multiply your ability to have wisdom, then travel and gain the wisdom. But if you're not going there for wisdom, then what's the point? Again, so contribution is the third category. So right now you have two categories on your piece of paper, your notebook and your Apple Notes, just kind of like walking around trying to figure out like, is this really worth my time? What I hope that you walk away with is at least a framework for asking better questions for the year or assessing where you are in the year. So far, you have wisdom. So you have growth as the second category. The third category I would advise, and I really do think is beneficial, is contribution. So with our ability to contribute, our happiness is directly tied to our ability and our consistency in contribution. You know, if we are able to see the effect our actions have on those around us, we're happy. If we're able to see a worthwhile pursuit and that's larger than ourselves, we're happy. It's our ability to find our North Star that we know will never be reached in our lifetime. We're happy. Our ability to, you know, market the things and sell the things that we're offering in a good way and feel okay and feel morally correct with the things that we are offering, we're happy. Our ability to build something and believe in something that will last, we are happy. Again, this search for a good year, I haven't mentioned anything about setting a goal of $200,000 a year or $300,000 a year or getting a job that pays you $675,000 a year. Like, that's not actually, I really think that you're skipping steps if you're doing that. I really do believe so. And this is just the model that I suggest off of my experiences and what I've seen and I've observed. Money is certainly an important tool, but again, it's like gasoline for the car. Like, certainly you need gas to move in these directions, but where are you going once you have a full gas tank? You can have a full gas tank and sit at home and still be miserable. Or drive around for hours and have nowhere to go because you're uncertain. So again, I would really advise that you kind of stick to these categories as prompts for your questions. So again, in this category of contribution, what I hope that you walk away with is a sense of knowledge about the areas you want to volunteer in and the area, the people that you want to impact, the experiences that you want to have, the ambitions that will eventually turn to memories. What are those for you? And then our last category that I think will help you organize the questions of the year and pursue something that's worthwhile in your new year, would really advise that you think about experience. And we've touched on this a little bit, but we understand that the greatest bond between people comes as the result of our experiences together. You know, both good and bad. We create as many positive experiences as we can, and we weather the negative together. So one thing that has been called into question this year is the difference between, or at least in 2020, was the difference between connection and being connected. We were all very connected. Like, we all had no shortage of being able to see, hear, or at least read what others are doing. We all know that. I mean, it's very easy to be in the know, but there's a great difference and there's a great void between being in the know and being known. And a lot of people, most people, are wanting to be known as opposed to just being in the know. So the thing that will change that is our ability to seek and run through the walls that are in between us and the experiences that we want. And experiences don't have to be, you know, sailing, I don't know, like tanning in Bali or whatever people were doing before quarantine. Like, they don't have to be those things. We don't have to be, you know, I don't know, in Thailand or, in the south of France or in Barcelona or these places. Like, these are great places. I've been to these places. They're great, but that doesn't necessarily, I've also had very weird experiences in these places, very homesick experiences, very trying experiences, especially if you travel alone or even if you travel with people. At the end of the day, these experiences are ones where you feel like you are becoming more known by those around you. And you feel like others are sharing themselves with you. This could be over a cup of coffee. This could be in a men's group or a woman's group or a small group at your church or at your faith-based organization. This could be at school. This could be anywhere. I mean, at the end of the day, when we're on our rocking chair and we're on the front porch and we've taken all the photos, we've run, we've opened, run, and closed the design studio. We've, you know, done the runway shows. We've designed a clothing line. We've opened a business. We've made the money. We've had the kids. We've had the wife. We've had the husband. You know, at the end of the day, when we're on that rocking chair and you don't have the energy to move as much as you used to, all you have are your memories and what or what's left of them. All you have are those experiences, those feelings. And the one thing that's always consistent, every time I read a story about being 70-something years old, is this story of regret. And the only regret people always have is that I wish I would have done these things sooner. I wish I would have made these mistakes sooner. Whatever it is that I've done, I wish I would have done it sooner. So again, make this the year where you do it. Make this the year where you set those experiences. Make this the year where your experiences, your contribution, your growth, and your wisdom is all aligned. And align your questioning and align your goal setting to those categories and not to making $20,000 more, or not to making, you know, some arbitrary number of cities that you want to see. Understand that those will funnel into these categories naturally, and they will be the fuel for the fire. So next time, hopefully this was super helpful. If you found value in this, we really appreciate it. I've never asked anything from the podcast community before, but it would be super helpful if you could leave a review. I'm realizing, and I've been doing this for about 2.5 years and built up quite a considerable following on Instagram yet, and the email list. Yet one thing that really helps get the word out there is to have a considerable amount of reviews on Apple Podcasts. So we would really appreciate it if you're there, if you feel compelled to share your thoughts about one thing that you found out of this episode, or at least a quotable or something like that that you really benefited from. We would appreciate it. So until next time, we'll talk soon. Peace.